Welcome back. 9 o'clock. Jim Davis, along with Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller. Chevrolet Buick Studios, most trusted name in automobiles. Everybody a little tired from the weekend? Must be. In Texas today, it's the good, the bad, the ugly. Yeah. Also, your pick tonight, Gonzaga or Baylor. Who do you think wins? I think it's going to be Gonzaga. I think it's going to be an awful lot like the semifinal game, though. I think the Baylor backcourt's going to be a real problem for Joel Ayayi and Jalen Suggs. The game that Butler had the other night against Houston, he kind of got it going a little bit offensively, and he's been definitely, you know, MIA during this tournament. And so, you know, if Jared Butler plays the way he did, can Ayayi go out and deliver a performance like he did on Saturday with 22 points? I think Kispert's going to have to, he's going to have to provide even more help for this team offensively. I don't think they're going to stop Drew Timmy, but I think they're going to negate others, and that's where Corey Kispert's going to have to play really well offensively for Gonzaga tonight to get the win. So we'll have it. Westwood One's coverage, pregame at 5 o'clock tonight. So who are you rooting for tonight?
I want my bracket to look good. Go, come on, Baylor. I picked Baylor over Gonzaga.
And I got Gonzaga, would have been over Illinois.
Yeah.
I did have Baylor into the Final Four. Have you looked at standings for Bracketpalooza?
I have not, actually.
If you had a chance to do that, it doesn't have to be right at this moment. If you got it, great.
I do not.
Got it at the ready?
No.
Or you can wait a little bit?
Give me a couple minutes here.
All right.
I have to track down and sign in and click and the whole thing. So
Baylor,
we don't have bonus points either.
Baylor's a 4.5-point dog in this game tonight, by the way, if you're looking at some of the odds. So keep that in mind. If you're laying a friendly wager, which obviously we can now do here in the state of Colorado, mm-hmm. can do that. Our friends at FanDuel, they've got their cool 40-1 odds thing they're doing right now for the national championship game tonight. So check that out at FanDuel. Get that app as well. So if you got some thoughts on Gonzaga Baylor tonight, who do you hope will win? Who do you think will win? I think it's going to be Gonzaga tonight. And I think that they're able to put their name, their first national championship, their name in the record books with that, along with being the first team since Bobby Knight in Indiana in 1976 to go undefeated. But I think Baylor's going to make it really tough for them tonight. I think the backcourt matchup is going to be maybe the determining factor in this game. And they're definitely going to have to, Gonzaga's, make hay while the sun is out with Drew Timmy in the front court. So got some thoughts on that, text or call us 970-242-1340, or your good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend. Some of the things that we mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good. Avalanche now your leader in the West. The Nuggets have won 5 in a row. Aaron Gordon gets to shove it down the throat of his old team last night. Nuggets beat Orlando. They had to rally from 18 down. A couple of different times in that game to get the win last night. The ugly Austin Gomber yesterday.
Yikes.
7 walks in 3 innings. Yet the Dodgers only won 4-2. They only won that game 4-2. Shockingly, because Chichi Gonzalez came in, did a really nice job, along with the Rockies bullpen, to at least give Colorado a fighting chance. Late in that game, Hampson had the double, but it was not enough last night. Shohei Ohtani with, 9 pitches of 100 miles an hour? And then he hits the big bomb with, the exit velocity of 112?
Something like that, yeah. It was ridiculous.
Had the collision with Jose Abreu at home plate in a play where he was covering home. And he left that game, but fortunately it sounds like he's okay. But
he couldn't pick a smaller guy to run into.
Yeah, no kidding. But Shohei Ohtani for the LA Angels. Pretty impressive performance. Stanford women winning their first title since 1992. Yes, somebody besides UConn winning a women's
or
Baylor's always in that mix as well. But Stanford, their first women's title since 1992. Taking down Pac-12 rival Arizona last night to win the women's national championship. Do you have it yet?
So I have the top five right now.
Okay.
I don't have names for some of these. Jim, I believe that is our friend Jim Landis, is right now at the top with 79 points. He's got Gonzaga. Then I'm trying to decipher. Not everybody, you know, put like a name on their bracket. There's hashtags and all sorts of other stuff in here. So we're trying to find out who is in second. I believe Jerry right now is in second. Then you have David and Diane and Josh all tied for third.
Of course, this is before we factor
in. This is before we factor in bonus points.
That if you went to Bracapalooza, mm-hmm. powered by Point S Tire, yep. and Grand Junction Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, you got those bonus points when you joined us at the warehouse. So
yes.
those will be factored in to determine the winner of Bracapalooza.
Mm-hmm.
And, so, and it was fun for a while. I had the lead in Bracapalooza for quite a long time. But unfortunately...
Now you do not.
Now I do not.
But also, Gonzaga wins, you're sitting in pretty good shape. Because you're ahead of everybody else in the DJ bracket.
Right.
But if Baylor wins, if I'm calculating the points right, somebody gets a chance to jump over you and beat you, and that would be me.
That would be you.
Yes.
So go Gonzaga tonight.
Yes.
Well.
Go Baylor.
Go Baylor for
That's
you.
That's what I said, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm trying to read and talk and listen at the same time. I can only do one of those things.
That's okay.
On a peak day.
That's all right. That's okay. So you can go to the bracket and check it all out at our website at theteam1340.com. All right. So I'm going to take a little trip through Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Through some of the nine changes, the nine big changes coming to baseball in 2021, which are, well, already here. And this is from an article from Tom Verducci, longtime MLB writer, of the changes that are happening in Major League Baseball. We'll start with number nine. And this isn't all at the major league level. This is minor leagues along with major leagues. But we could see some of these things at the minor league level become part of Major League Baseball in the near future. The automatic strike zone, which they're using right now at low A, two-thirds of the games in the southeast, where the strike zone will be redefined from its three-dimensional box shape to a two-dimensional window that is flush with the front edge of the plate. The top line of the zone is set at 56% of the batter's height and the bottom at 28% of the batter's height. So that's how they have this box constructed. And the feeling from Verducci is we could see this at the big league level as early as 2023. That Major League Baseball's competition committee is going to continue to monitor results during the low A season and adjust as it sees fit. So this could be coming, this, quote, automatic strike zone mm-hmm. to Major League Baseball in the very near future. They also have the 15-second pitch clock, which they're using in the low A in the West. Nothing will make a bigger impact than this, than the pitch clock. And Verducci says maybe we'll see this in 2022 with some potential caveats, such as only with the bases empty. Players have shown little excitement for this whole idea. But a game that currently gives fans one pitch every 24.9 seconds needs some kind of help. Okay, let's just go on these first two. Do you like anything about these first two ideas, which are still at the low A level, not close to being major league, you know, ready? Do you like either one of these ideas?
I do like the automated strike zone because, as we've talked about, I don't like the, well, you haven't earned that pitch.
Which is stupid.
Is it a strike? Yes or no? It doesn't matter how much dirt's in your spikes. It's a strike, yes or no. So I'm fine with that. The pitch clock I've always gone back and forth on. I would like the game to speed up a little bit, but not at the expense of some of the strategy in the game. And I think some of that is you got to cycle through signs if guys are on base. And I know that this is only a pitch clock. Some of them, it's floated that it may only be with no runners on base.
Which changes the strategy aspect of it.
Changes quite a bit, yeah. You know, I think that if you can't figure out what to throw in 15 seconds with no runners on base, then you probably need to have a better pitcher's meeting before the game with your catcher and your pitching coach and your manager and whatever, or talk between innings. Okay, we got these guys coming up. Here's kind of the cycle we need to go through, you know. make your adjustments. Make better adjustments. If you can't throw nobody on, leading off an inning, it's 1-0, and you can't throw the next pitch in 15 seconds, you probably need some speeding up somewhere.
My opinion on the first two, I'm torn a little bit because baseball, one of the things we love about baseball
mm-hmm. is there's no clock.
And there's the imperfection of it too, right?
Yeah.
But I agree with you though. On a strike zone needs to be a strike zone. And it needs to be the same. There needs to be uniformity to it.
Right.
Not, well, you're a rookie pitcher, so you don't get that call off the edge. Or if you're a veteran guy, well, yeah, you get that call because you've earned. I think that's ridiculous and it's stupid.
I agree. And, 100%.
And I think this does help address that. But isn't also part of the uniqueness of baseball is that strike zones are different depending on the umpire. While I applaud that kind of quirky, fun thing about baseball on some level, it's a game that still needs to have some uniformity to it. And the strike zone needs to be that for both the pitcher and the hitter, right?
Absolutely.
So they both know where to expect a strike to be called. What's a strike? What's a ball? The pitch clock, I'm with you on that a little bit. I'm not crazy about that.
You shouldn't have Antonio Senzatella have to throw the ball in a different spot to get a strike than a Trevor Bauer or Clayton Kershaw.
True. Getting back to the strike zone. I agree with you on that. If it's a strike for Trevor Bauer, it needs to be a strike for Aaron Marquez. It needs to be a strike for everybody. The pitch clock, I'm okay with it. There's nobody on base. I see the number that it's one pitch every almost 25 seconds. Are we trying too hard to make baseball something it's not? Which is fast, 2.5 hours, which I think most people wish baseball would be that. Are we expecting it to be something that it isn't in terms of expedience of, hey, I can watch this in 2.5 hours. Are we messing with something that's a pretty wonderful product for the most part that does need some tinkering with?
I think you can speed it up elsewhere, though, too. That's why I go back and forth.
Let's move to number 7, the step-off rule. They're using it in high A right now. Pitcher has to step off the rubber to make a pickoff attempt. And this is more for left-handed pitchers, you know, the kind of balk move that a lot of left-handed pitchers make on a pick. And it's supposed to be a way to increase stolen base output. And so when they tested this rule in the Atlantic League in 2019, stolen base attempts per game rose from 1.02 to 1.73. The success rate went from 75.5% to almost 81%.
That's a big jump.
So Verducci thinks it'll be post-2022. We'll just take this one on its own. For a game right now, which the baseball is not as amped up as it once was at the major league level. We'll get to that in a moment. And there's now more of a priority on stealing bases. What did we talk about? Trevor Story. Can he be a 30-30 guy?
Right.
That this maybe makes some sense in terms of that. If you're trying to de-emphasize home run hitting, and it's more about strategy, and it includes speed, getting back into the game like it used to be in the 70s, then this is a way to do that. Yay or nay on this?
Yeah, I have to say yes because I don't want to be a hypocrite. I'm okay with it because, again, it's a different rule for a different player. Left-handed pitchers don't have to do the same mechanics to pick off as right-handed pitchers.
Right.
Just because of the way they throw the ball.
Getting back to being fair and somewhat uniform.
Some fair, uniform, you know. Yeah, I'm probably okay with it. That one doesn't bother me as much. I'm kind of whatever they want to do with it. They need to figure out a better way to delineate a balk and a non-balk from left-handed pitchers. If this is the way to do it, then so be it.
Okay, number six, they have restructuring the shift where they're using in double A right now. But when the pitch is thrown, the four infielders must have their feet within the outer boundary of the infield dirt. So you can't have, like we have in slow pitch softball.
Be in the middle. Yeah, you can't have like your rover.
Can't have a rover hanging around. And so basically what you're saying here is goodbye to 200-foot line drives to right field that become 4-3 putouts. And so for now, it still means that teams can shift. They just can't play that flex prevent defense. And Verducci thinks it'll be 2022 when we see this. That it's going to be more about baseball players showing their athleticism.
Right.
Less about trying to deal with hitting against the shift and of some of these defensive maneuvers we've seen.
To me.
And even for the infielders, too.
Yeah.
It's more about their abilities athletically, defensively to make plays.
I also have this one for me. It's very much you don't have to hit it into the shift. Just because it's there doesn't mean you have to try to hit it over it. If there's three infielders between first and second base, there's only one on the other side of the second base. And he cannot cover 90 feet and throw you out every single time. If you're a major league hitter, at some point you should be able to inside out and go the other way.
Exactly.
I know they're pitching you inside. They're pitching to the shift. They want you to roll over, pull the ball, the whole thing.
We've talked about that for years.
You lay down five bunts in a month, your shift is going to go away.
But will guys who make their money hitting home runs, getting extra base hits, are they going to be okay with that? I'm going to have to lay down a bunt. I think it's part of the game.
But if all you do is hit home runs, the shift doesn't matter because they can't put guys in the seats.
But if I'm hitting guys, if I'm trying to hit to the alleys, if I'm trying to hit through the shift, guys that aren't very good bunters. So I guess that's the direction I want to go. Guys that don't bunt because they don't typically have the speed for it, or it's just not a part of their repertoire. It's not part of their game.
Can you name anybody that changes their approach depending on pitch count anymore? Remember when that was a thing? 0-2. Yeah. Choke up.
Exactly.
Shorten your swing. Hands to the ball.
Punch it somewhere.
Yep. Nobody does that. That's on the hitters. That's not on the defenders. Sometimes you just have to adjust. I don't really want a Pro Bowl rule. Oh, you can't blitz in the Pro Bowl. Oh, why not? Oh, you got to have two guys on each side of the base, everybody's feet in the dirt. Well, no. So can you come in? Can you play infield in? Do you have to still play with your feet on the dirt? Or can you come on the inside infield grass?
I would assume that you can play up.
Yeah.
It's just you can't move laterally.
Mm-hmm. And where does that stop? Is it, okay, you can't play a no doubles defense. Outfielders have to have their feet on the grass too.
Exactly.
Or when you're down three runs and it's 2-0.
Or playing the line.
Yeah.
Which that isn't indicated in here because... Right. If your feet are still on the the boundary, you're still okay.
If you're up five in the eighth inning, but the bases are loaded, you have to be on the warning track. I know it sounds stupid and it's ridiculous, but where does it end? I'm not wanting to legislate positioning. Not yet. Hit the ball the other way.
Yeah, I've just always been in the mindset that, I think the shift sometimes go a little crazy with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like you said, with laying down a bunt, working on being able to go the opposite way, that's part of being a professional
hitter,
right?
That's working on your craft.
That's part of being a hitter at the big league level.
Yeah.
And that if you need to stop them from playing a shift on you, learn how to lay down a bunt.
If you can't
hit a curveball,
you're going to get yanked. You may not make it to the big leagues I can no-hit curveball. Straight ball, hit it very much. Not everybody can be Serrano. Right.
Exactly.
And if at some point, if you can't figure out how to go the other way, put a ball into the gap, put a, something, just drive it the opposite way into the alley. That's going to be on you. That's not on the pitchers and the defenders to be like, you know what? Yeah, let's give these guys hit it where they ain't, not hit it where they used to be,
Right. But I also think that gets back to the whole notion of I'm trying to get base hits. I'm trying to get extra base hits. I don't want to lay down a bunt. I don't want to do that. I'm not good at that. That's not a skill set that I possess as a hitter, and I don't feel like working on that. Or maybe it's, like I said, guys that, like a Giancarlo Stanton, who's a good athlete, but he's not the quickest guy in the world. Is that something, to me, that's still part, that's part of you being a professional hitter, is learning those skills.
Right.
Correct?
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, I'm perfectly fine with them not messing with the shift a whole lot and leaving it the way it is. This isn't, this next one's the AAA level, better bases. Now, what they're talking about this is that, you know, we've had injuries over the years with guys slipping on bases like Bryce Harper, Mike Trout. They've injured themselves on, on bases because some the current bases are pretty hard and they're very slick. And so what they're doing is the new base is 18 by 18. It's 3 inches wider in each direction than the current base. And MLB says its analytical work suggests that when it calls the 4.5-inch reduction between bases will result in a 1% increase in success rate of stolen bases. Here we have another rule change that will, they hope, will ultimately up stolen base percentage. Also, the new bases are 2.5 inches higher rather than 3 inches, and they're more soft. They've got a textured non-slip groove surface with a give that's kind of like a running track, if you will.
Yeah.
And it has more pronounced corners that provide better push off for runners and a feel for the fielder, say turn a double play or whatever, or first baseman. Do you have a problem with different bases?
No. And I know guys, some guys are like, well, I grew up with a 90 feet between the base paths, not 87 feet, 6 inches or whatever. It's like, it'll still be 90 feet. Calm down. And that 3 inches probably is not going to affect you because, like you said, not everybody's out there stealing 30 bases. Like, and I know I don't know if he's complained about this or not, but just a random name that popped, Joey Gallo.
Right.
Doesn't matter if the bases are 90 feet or 89 feet, 6 inches.
Because it's...
has no bearing on his home run trot. You know,
it's about him going yard, and it's not about him stealing bases.
No.
But it sounds to me like, at least from the texture standpoint,
that's going to be great.
That's a safety change.
Yes. And where is this been? Did they just come up with this? I can't believe that it's just now been the.
Hey, well, let's come up with bases that aren't slick and hard, and guys can fall down, fielders can fall down,
right?
Runners, same situation. But the expectation is that maybe next year we could see these new bases implemented in Major League Baseball.
Let's do it.
Umpire review announcements. Now, according to Tom Verducci, that's now in Major League Baseball at the big league level, that MLB plans to arrange for umpires to announce results of replay changes with NFL-style explanations over the public address system. That was what they were going to do. That was for last year,
right.
But then COVID took care of that. Umpires are on board with it. Plans are still in place. But the COVID-19 protocols are still delaying. That's why we didn't hear this the other day on the Bellinger home run. That was not a home run. The Rockies and the Dodgers on Thursday.
Right.
That, you know, he ran past Justin Turner, and that's why he got, you know, that's why it was not a home run. That we didn't hear that because... they haven't worked. How tough is it to work out the COVID protocols for this?
And what exactly are the protocols?
I mean, you mic up the crew chief, right?
Yeah.
With a wireless mic.
They do it in the NFL. Been doing it for years. Years
and
I mean, years
they
ago.
They go over and obviously talk to the war room when they put the headset on and everything, look at the tablet and all that. And then you come out and you don't stand around anybody and you just turn the microphone on and let him say, here's what happened.
This is going to sound like a knock, and it's not. And I swear it's not, and I promise. If we can figure out this technology for Stoker Stadium, Major League Baseball parks can figure it out. Right?
Yeah.
The white hat has a microphone. He has a wireless. Click it. Say the thing. Turn it off.
Turn it off. That's what I don't know what the COVID protocols are that they haven't overcome yet. I don't get that.
Do they have to run out? Can you only use dirty microphones? Is that the rule that COVID's like, well, we can't do that now with COVID because they got to be clean and that's not part of the rule. I don't get it. What's the holdup? Like Chris Farley says, sweet mother of Mary, what is the holdup?
Is it just a case of overthinking this if you're Major League Baseball?
It has to be, yeah.
Or do they not want to do it for whatever reason?
Is this like the DH thing? Everybody's on board. Okay, why aren't we doing it?
Why aren't we doing it?
Well, we don't agree on our agreement. What?
Well, I thought you all agreed that this is what you wanted to do. You all agreed to this. And okay, so what's the protocol you haven't been able to figure out yet?
You can monetize this. You can sell sponsorships.
Absolutely.
That umpire announcement brought to you by whatever.
And this is one of the things that would be such a big help for Major League Baseball for fans. When you don't know, okay, what exactly happened? I didn't catch that.
Right. And if you're wanting all this, if sports betting, transparency is the buzzword.
Absolutely. It's now more important than ever because of legalized sports betting to make sure that the message gets out about what that call was and why that probably just cost you $100 on a bet that you just made. So they have number three on here is extra inning runner at second base.
Nope. Dumb. Don't like it.
Of course, we saw this last year in Major League Baseball and the COVID, situation prompted that. And it's here to stay. Extra inning games last year ended in the 10th inning, 69% of the time, up 46% in 2017 through 2019. And so that is now the situation. Extra inning runner at second base. That's still part of Major League Baseball in 2021.
Boo. Boo hiss, boo hiss, boo hiss. Not a fan. I don't like that one. You're fundamentally changing the game because it's going too long. And if you want to speed up the game, there are other ways you can do it. I never liked you can kick a field goal, but the other team gets the ball. It's either sudden death or it's not. Basketball, it's the same game. Hockey, there's fewer players on the ice, but it is the same game. It's not like, you know what? You're the visiting team, so you're on you have to penalty kill for the first 2 minutes of overtime.
See, I don't dislike this like you do, but here's the thing that I would make the change with it. Because I actually do like the idea.
Okay.
That when you go to extra innings, you reset your order to the top of the order. You just reset. You just go, okay, you might have finished, inning before, you're a six-hole hitter or whatever. Both teams, 10th inning.
Yeah.
You're one through four guys, step to the plate. Because those are the guys that are paid the money to drive in runs, get on base, score runs, drive in runs.
I say we go fifth grade kickball. The other team has to choose your runner at second base. The other team gets to pick.
I'm not opposed to that.
You know what?
I'm not opposed.
You go to the 10th inning, Dodgers get a runner at second. The Rockies get to pick who it is.
Kenley Jansen.
Kenley Jansen, you're running, pal.
Of course, then you can say, well, no, you can't pick pitchers. It's got to be a positional guy.
No, he's in uniform.
You're gonna hear that argument about that.
I don't care.
No, your eyes lit up a little bit when I said, well, reset it to the top of the order.
It's interesting. We could have a discussion on that.
Okay, I'm glad I got you to
come around a little bit on that.
Okay, very good.
In general, I don't like it. Don't like it.
Number two, he has the interference rule, which is now going on in Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
The only new rule added at the big league level this year, if after a drop third strike, the umpire batter inadvertently deflects the ball, thereby impeding the catcher, the batter is out and runners return to their bases. Essentially, it's a clarification of an existing rule that makes clear intent is not a consideration.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it just
sure
provides clarity.
Yeah.
And then number one, I hinted to this earlier, a less lively baseball. Remember, their feeling the ball was juiced.
They de-juiced the ball, unjuiced the ball.
Exactly. You're not going to be seeing. The goal is to try to keep you like 7, 8, 9 hole hitters from hitting opposite field bombs. Incentivize hitters putting the ball in play. Pitchers pitching to contact rather than pitching away from contact. Obviously, guys that are big home run hitters are still going to get theirs, maybe not at the same clip.
right.
as previously. But in 2019, the 7, 8, and 9 hitters hit .397, third highest all time. So it's more about those guys that the feeling was that they were getting kind of cheap home runs, if you will, from your 7, 8, and 9 hole hitters.
Yeah, I'm okay with a dead baseball. I like the home run as much as the next person, but I like the game as a whole, not just the three true outcomes. Strikeout, walk, homer.
Right.
I like the ball in play, but not hit immediately out of play. I'm okay with that.
I think we, for the most part, we like some of these, maybe not all of them, but some of them do make some sense. And I just think, like I said, with the, you know, having the umpire mic'd up, come on.
That's stupid.
That needs to happen now. Yep. There's no what COVID protocols are we talking? I don't get what COVID protocols are keeping this from being a reality. And then I think the extra inning thing, you reset to the top of the order. I think that makes it even more intriguing, more fun. I mean, the guys that you obviously pay a lot of money to are the guys you want in that scenario, right?
Yeah.
You want your best. You put your best goal scorer on the ice in a shootout, right?
Right.
So doesn't it make sense to have your best offensive players, which are usually your 1 through 4 guys?
You would think.
Those would be the guys to be out there for you. All right. So we've got some thoughts on that today. Text or call. So get to the text line coming up here in just a moment. 970-242-1340. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Maybe this afternoon, thinking about, you know, around lunchtime. I'm tired of going to the same old place. I'm tired of hitting a fast food restaurant. I think I just like a really good kind of home-cooked meal. Or maybe tonight for the NCAA championship game. Where can I go to take in the action with maybe some great drink specials, great food, and just an awesome atmosphere with lots of TVs to watch Gonzaga and Baylor tonight? You can do both those. Plus, it'll become your favorite breakfast place at 357 Reloaded in the Peachtree Shopping Center in Clifton. Yeah, you can go out there and grab lunch today. They have the 8-ounce flat iron steak. They have the New York strip. They have a chicken fried steak, fish and chips, ham steak dinner, and of course a great selection of burgers like the cheeseburger, the classic, the bacon cheeseburger, the Palisade Pig, which is a burger, pulled pork, ham, and bacon. And they have a club, a Reuben 7, a wide selection of sandwiches, great breakfast specials as well, and of course the place you want to go for dinner. And don't forget their famous $4 22-ounce beers at 357 Reloaded. They're in the Peachtree Shopping Center in Clifton. Check them out today for lunch, dinner, breakfast tomorrow, or, well, breakfast this morning still.
Yeah, still plenty of time.
Still hit up the folks at 357 Reloaded for breakfast this morning as well. All right, 9:33, we'll take a break. We'll come back this day in sports history. Plus, we'll get to some of your text on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340.
Yeah, I think they're like the best on the radio.
At least at the pro level, the best of the best.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 9:36. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Got a text from our colleague, Buffalo Mark. Kellen Mond, huh? Kid's a warrior and will take a beating for you, but he's also a guy who's had one good season, 19 touchdowns, 3 picks the last year. But he is an NFL starter. Is he Paxton Lynch? I'm leaning Lynch. But you're also, Mark, you're not gonna draft Kellen Mond in the first round. You're not going to take him till maybe the second round, more like the third round.
Third round quarterbacks don't work out all the time. So that's
of a risk. Your investment is not that dramatic. Mm-hmm. It's not a price that you have to pay that's that heavy.
If you don't take him in the first round, he's not at all Paxton.
He's not going to be a first round quarterback, and you shouldn't take him in the first round. He's a project.
Yeah,
but he's a guy with his athleticism. I think arm strength, mobility, is worth bringing into camp for the Broncos as a second or third round pick. Yeah, but no. Did I say take him with the 9th pick? No, I did not say that. No. Don't take him with the 9th pick. Baylor wins by 5 tonight. Bears get after it on D. Have a great day.
I hope. But that would be.
That we have a great day?
I hope so. Well, that too. But I hope Baylor wins by 5. The problem is, I've been doing some maths right?
Okay, yes, because you have Bracketpalooza info here.
I cannot catch you. You've won. You are the winner of the DJ Celebrity Bracket.
As well it should be.
First time. And that's not very nice.
I thought I'd won it one time before.
You might have, but if I don't win it, I don't really care. And so,
such a jerk.
I can get to 74 points. You're at 76 right now. Jim is in the lead, not you, Jim. Different Jim. Jim
right.
Landis. He's in the lead right now with 89 points, thanks to the Bracketpalooza party bonus points. As a matter of fact, all five people I'm going to name have the bonus points. So it behooves you to show up next year.
Exactly.
This is what we tell you every year. Jim's leading with 89. Behind him are Diane and Josh with 84. They both have Baylor tonight. So we would go to the tiebreaker because they would beat Jim by 1 point each. And then it would be first, second between the two of them, and then Jim would be third. If Gonzaga wins, then we have a four-way tie for second place between Diane, Josh, Lisa, and Haas. And one of them with the tiebreaker would be left out in the cold.
And that's total points in the championship game.
Yes. Total points. Two of them would be left out in the cold. That's if Gonzaga wins, because then we would have a four-way tie for second place.
Okay, but for those of you that went to Bracketpalooza, mm-hmm. pick my bracket.
You're going to get some...
You're welcome. You're welcome. Somebody's going to win $100
yeah,
by picking my bracket.
Between both of you. No, I'm just kidding. There's 10, 12 people that picked your bracket.
All right. And so what we'll do is we will draw a winner from those 12
tomorrow
for the $100.
Yeah.
They're coming up tomorrow. Let's see one from Bry Guy. Good, the bad, the ugly today. Cue the music. As far as his good, Avs finally playing up their potential. Bad, Gomber's debut, ugly, my bracket sags tonight. Let's see, I got one from Jim, who you just referenced Jim's bracket. Good morning, guys. I've got Gonzaga winning tonight, which is good for me, obviously. LOL, where am I sitting? You're sitting in the catbird spot.
Driver's seat right now.
But if Baylor wins and Diane and Joshua pick Baylor, we'll have a total score of 80. If I'm looking at things right.
Yes, but that doesn't include the bonus points. He would be right. They all have the bonus points. So you just need to add 10 to the numbers you're seeing. But yeah, if Diane and Josh, if Baylor wins, they would both leapfrog Jim. And Jim would sit there in third place, which is still not bad. Jim's assured of being on the medal podium right now. He's going to get something. First, second, or third.
Going from Robert. I'm not getting into all the all-star game in Atlanta and all that. I know Governor Polis has said, hey, bring it to Colorado. It'd be only the second time ever for the all-star game. Mm-hmm. Of course, 1998 was the first one. I'm not going to get into all that.
Yeah.
If it comes to Colorado, that'd be cool. It'd be great. Great for the folks in the Lodo area.
Right.
Business owners down there be extremely beneficial for them.
Yeah.
And he also says, did I manage to get in on Buckeye Boys dinner invitation for my Rockies prediction of 104-58?
A couple things there. One, I wasn't a part of that. That was between you and a different listener.
Right.
So two, that would be no, because I think Bronco Freak.
That was Bronco Freak,
and you offered, and then Robert invited himself.
into the whole thing, which... Sure, Robert.
Yeah,
I'll buy you and Bronco Freak lunch, but guess what? No way the Rockies going to win 104 games.
Yeah, they need to lose only 55 more games from now until October for you to get that freedom. So
mathematically, still very much in the hunt for 104 wins.
Hey, they're only two games back.
But once again, I'm going to be very confident. I'll take both of you to lunch. If they win, but they have to win 104 games. If they win 103, you lose.
Yep.
They have to win 104 games.
If they win
90 games, you don't win. Guess what? That's not going to happen either.
I love to eat. I don't even like buying my own food. I'm not going to buy food for somebody else. I'm out
but,
on that.
But I'll put it
pass.
Out there.
You got that sweet middle management money. So.
Exactly. I'm just rolling in it.
Yeah.
No, they're not going to win 104 games. And so, Bronco Freak, Robert, I feel quite confident that we will not be dining together in the near future.
Yeah.
But if it happens, I'm a man of my word.
Jim will absolutely take you.
I will take you to lunch.
To the nearest dollar menu.
Exactly. Boys want a couple of number fives?
Yep.
Great.
You want some value tacos? 79-cent jobbies? Absolutely.
Said lunch. Didn't say how much I was going to spend.
Yeah. Get extra lettuce. It's free.
Got one from, let's see. We got another one on the text line this morning from Chris. Good morning, fellas. Hope you had a good Easter weekend. Hope you did too, Chris. I'm serving up a good, better, and best today. Good. Jordan Spieth getting a win. His first win in almost 4 years, just before the Masters. Better, the Avs and Nuggets rounding into form everyone was expecting before the season. Best, UCLA Zags game. Best I've seen in college basketball in a very, very long time, and it mattered.
Yeah, that was a good game.
See, I still remember the Leitner Duke Kentucky game. The
that
shot
was
by Christian Leitner.
92? A long time ago.
I believe. Trying to remember exactly when that was. It would have been early 90s. I think 92 sounds right.
Very revealing attire on those basketball players. Like we talked about John Stockton last week.
And our friend Josh.
Hey.
Who lives out Appleton way these days,
yeah.
I believe.
One
for a while
Beefs.
Anyway. Yeah. Go Baylor and 169 total points. Josh needs a win. Thanks, team.
Yeah.
Good luck, Josh. Good luck.
I didn't look to see what the tiebreaker points were, but it's going to be tight.
It's going to be very, very
tight. It's
going to
be very close. It's going to be either Jim runs away with it and a four-way tie for second.
Once again, not me, Jim Landis.
But a tie for first with Jim coming in third. So it's going to be tight. A little nervy tonight for some people.
Right,
few members of the pile.
Don't forget, all starts 5 o'clock tonight right here on the team. Coverage of the national championship game, Gonzaga and Baylor. All right, this day in sports history, 1915 in a heavyweight bout held in Havana, Cuba. Jess Willard beats Jack Johnson in the 26th round to win the title. 1927, swimmer Johnny Weissmuller breaks his own record in the 200-meter freestyle by 7 seconds, finishing in 2 minutes and 8 seconds. He also breaks his own record in the 100-meter freestyle by completing the swim in 51 seconds. Of course, he would go on to play Tarzan in the movies later on. 1973, and I'll have more on this one for Garbage Time. 73, the NFL adopts a jersey numbering system where position groups can only wear numbers in certain ranges. We could be seeing a change in that.
Yep.
We'll save that for Garbage Time. 1984, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar passes Wilt Chamberlain to become the NBA's all-time leading scorer with 31,420 points. I still think Kareem doesn't get the credit he deserves as one of the all-time greats.
I agree with that.
I mean, and he's...
He's an all-time leading scorer.
Scored, but he's still... But people talk about everybody else all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's Michael, it's LeBron.
Magic.
It's Larry, it's Magic. And Kareem doesn't get the credit he deserves.
No.
1987, Wayne Gretzky wins his 7th straight scoring title. 1990, Utah Jazz guard John Houston Stockton becomes the first player in NBA history to dish out 1,000 assists for 3 seasons in a row. 93, North Carolina beats Michigan 77-71 to win the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship. 2004, the UConn men's basketball team beats Georgia Tech 82-73 to win the men's basketball title. 2010, Duke wins their 4th men's college basketball national championship, beating Butler 61-59. You see where, of course, Butler great Gordon Hayward,
mm-hmm.
now with Charlotte, hurt again.
Yeah.
And he's playing really well for them, too.
They were playing well, and they've gotten hit by a rash of injuries that are going to make them tumble down the standings.
Let's see, 2016, the UConn women's basketball team wins their 4th straight national championship. They crush Syracuse 82-51. Huskies coach Gino Auriemma wins his 11th national title. And they go undefeated for the 6th time. And 2019, Russell Westbrook becomes the first player in league history to average a triple-double in 3 consecutive seasons. And that's a look at this day in sports history. We will take a break. We'll come back and up next, wrap it up with some Garbage Time. That's on the way on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Craptastic.
That's just crap.
The team presents The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 950. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Tomorrow, Wyatt Thompson will help us look back at tonight's national championship game. We'll also have Mav Day tomorrow as well. In the 9 o'clock hour. Imagine the skipper, Chris Hanks, will join us.
Yeah.
The number 2 team in the nation, the Colorado Mesa baseball team. So that's coming up on tomorrow's program.
They beat up on Adams State again this weekend?
No, they're off this weekend because they played, well, they remember they played Adams State in that doubleheader on Tuesday.
They were off that day, too.
And, well, Mavs were there.
That's true.
Adams State was allegedly there.
Cruise control.
Now, wait, they held the Mavs to 12 runs in that second game, so let's dial it back on the Grizzly hatred, okay?
They've only held them to 148 over six games this year.
Oh.
That's all.
It's time for garbage time.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Oh, I love trash.
All right, I have this story with this day in history with the NFL having the standardized numbers and everything for positions. Well, there's a proposal out right now from the Kansas City Chiefs that could change that. Because the Chiefs have a proposal to allow different numbers for positions that would open up that possibility, that it would look more like the college game in terms of numbers, that the Chiefs' proposal would allow defensive backs, running backs, fullbacks, tight ends, H-backs, wide receivers, and linebackers to wear single-digit numbers. Currently, only quarterbacks, punters, and kickers can wear a jersey number from 1 to 19. So that would be a change.
Maybe wide receivers can wear in the teens.
They can do that. I'm trying to look
at it. Odell Beckham's 13.
Yeah.
Jerry Judy's 10?
I think this article's mistaken on, Jerry Judy's 10, about wide receivers. I think it's everybody else, defensive backs.
But they are thinking.
Well, see, running backs, let's say, because.
They're in the 20s and 30s and 40s.
Yeah.
But
it's wide receivers.
They're wanting to open it up to where, you know, a Cortland Sutton can wear number 6 if he wants to.
Exactly.
Right.
So it would, if they get it passed, defensive backs could wear 1 to 49, linebackers could wear 1 to 59, or the 90 to 99 range. But yeah, wide receivers already can wear single digit numbers. I don't know why they're going on in this article about wide receivers. Running backs, fullbacks, and tight ends and H backs can wear 1 to 49 or 80 to 89.
I mean, you used to not have the wide receivers were only in the 80s.
Correct.
Right, your tight ends and wide receivers, and I don't know. I mean, it would be kind of weird with the single digits because that's kind of one of the uniform things I like about the NFL.
Could wear zero.
Could wear zero.
I think that's part of this too, that you could wear zero or double zero, like Jim Otto used to wear, the longtime Raiders.
Now,
center.
Can you have a zero and a double zero, like a roulette wheel on your team? That'd be interesting.
Yeah, I would think so, right? Yeah. Also, got one other quick thing here that we're going to see. ESPN is going to lose the second game of the week one Monday night doubleheader.
Hallelujah.
But they're going to get the week 18 Saturday doubleheader, which will be January 8th of 2022. So they will get that. As opposed to the second game of the Monday night doubleheader, which I don't know if the Monday night doubleheader is going away.
Sounds like it's going away.
It sounds like it. Or are they just going to farm it out to somebody else?
From what I saw, it sounds like it's going totally going away.
Yeah, which I think it should.
It should. I mean, for us, it's not bad. 8:15, it's still kind of a late kickoff, especially if the Broncos are playing, right? We got to have eyeballs on that for a while. Makes Tuesday a little rough. But when you're kicking off a game and the majority of your media markets are closing in on midnight because it's like 10:15, 10:30 on the East.
And here's the thing, too. The Denver's been in a lot of these games.
And they're not all very good games.
Pretty bad. Tennessee, Denver, Denver-Oakland, Chargers and Denver. I mean, those are some of the games. And the other ones, too, include the Rams and 49ers. But a lot of those games have drawn very poor ratings.
I'm fine with it. I like the Saturday doubleheader.
I do, too.
So, I'm all about it.
Adios to that second game on Monday night.
No. Hey, goodbye.
Goodbye. You have anything?
I do not.
Okay.
I was going to do the Monday Night Football doubleheader for Good Call, Bad Call, but I switched to the Chris Beard thing because I do think that's a bad move, but then you used it for garbage time. Well, it works out.
Well, great. I'm...
And now we're down to the last 15 seconds.
Great minds think alike. All right, Jim Rome coming up next. Don't forget, tonight we'll have Gonzaga against Baylor National Championship game. Pregame with Westwood One at 5 o'clock tonight right here on the Team Sports Network. For the Buckeye Boy, I'm Jim. Have a great day. Join us tomorrow morning at 7 on the Team Sports Network.